It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Ahoo, and good day to all my relatives. Pini Gigi. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjay Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Today's show is kind of a best of show. Wendy will be speaking about our relative, the Eagle, and one in particular. The next segment is from almost a year ago, which features Native youth Nina Berglund and Nolan Berglund, along with Rose Whipple. Our popular segment, What Does My Elder Think? My elder Curtis will be speaking about current issues and news. We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. Each week we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are being hit hard with alcohol and the drug epidemic. 1 year ago, Standing Rock was happening. We celebrate the movement, but we ask, how could so many sheriffs from Minnesota be in North Dakota? I was at a meeting this past week in Minneapolis where Sheriff Stanek was asking how he could help with the heroin problem in Little Earth. He's the same man who sent sheriffs to Standing Rock. Last year, Dakota Access Pipeline had a private army. This army was paid for by our taxes. My relative was arrested last year. Dogs were brought out, and later on, water cannons, rubber bullets, tear gas were used on our prayerful protesters. Was this a dream? Was this a dream? Now we have the press speaking on line three, telling us it's a replacement line. It is not. It's a new pipeline. They are not digging up the leaky 40, 50 plus year old pipeline. Just listen to what is spoken to us. We need to listen carefully. We all need to listen carefully and follow the money. There's an old Indian saying, the left wing and the right wing are from the same bird.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
When I looked in the eyes of an animal, I do not see an animal. I see a living being. I see a friend. I feel a soul. A.D. Williams. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Welcome, Wendy, and tell us your name.
Hi, I'm glad to be here as always. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and it means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega, Uncle Curtis.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to be talking about a story from quite a few years ago, and some of you might have already heard this story, but I really thought it was pretty incredible and wanted to talk about it again. You know, there was an eagle who was shot in the face by a poacher.
Wendy, what exactly is a definition of a poacher?
Yeah. You know, it simply means to take game or fish illegally. And in the case of an eagle, if you were caught poaching an eagle, you can be fined $100,000 or a year in jail, or both. So it's pretty steep. So this poor eagle was shot in the face, and it literally obliterated most of its beak. The upper part of the beak was gone. She was unable to eat, drink, or preen. And animal rescue workers found her before she starved to death, and volunteers at the nonprofit group Birds of Prey Northwest nursed her back to health with a feeding tube and later hand-fed her with forceps. It became increasingly clear that her beak was never going to grow back, and she wasn't going to get any better. So the eagle named Beauty would never be able to feed herself, and she was on the track to be euthanized. A raptor specialist, Jane Fink Cantwell, who was said to dress like Indiana Jones, refused to take dead bald eagle for an answer. She did everything she could to keep Beauty and joined forces with a mechanical engineer, Nate Calvin, of Kinetic Engineering Group, and together with their scientists, engineer, and even a dentist, they designed a nylon polymer brake beak that would perfectly replace Beauty's lost upper mandible. Nate Calvin, the mechanical engineer, developed a new beak using a 3D modeling program, then used a 3D printer to fabricate it. After hours, they were able to attach her prosthetic beak, and Beauty was able to eat and preen and drink herself on her own.
Well, that's awesome. It's an amazing technology, what technology can do. Was she released back into the wild again?
You know, well, unfortunately, Beauty's beak isn't secure enough for her to return to the wild. So Jane Fink Cantwell is still caring for her. And Cantwell says Beauty is a lot more self-sufficient than she used to be. And in her case, may help pave the way for making better prosthetics for wildlife in the future. So Beauty lives in a screened enclosure, and she's loved and taken very well care of. And this kind of gets, the story got me kind of thinking about eagles and eagle feathers.
You know, tell us what eagle feathers mean to the Native American culture.
Feathers mean a lot to the Native American tribes. A feather isn't just something that falls out of a bird. It means much more. A feather symbolizes trust, honor, strength, wisdom, power, freedom, respect, humbleness, truth, love, natural power, courage, and freedom. And it is believed that there is a special connection with the eagle to the creator. And the eagle is considered to be a messenger to the creator.
Wendy, can you tell us the laws about having an eagle feather?
Well, here is the federal law. Do you want to pay thousands of dollars in fines and possibly face jail time? Then don't touch an eagle feather. The Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, passed in 1940, it prohibits pursuing shooting at, poisoning, wounding, killing, capturing, trapping, collecting, molesting, or distributing a bald or golden eagle feather. This means you cannot take or even move any part of a bald eagle, not even a feather already on the ground. A single violation could result up to a year in prison and $5,000 fine.
Why are Native Americans allowed to possess an eagle feather?
Well, because of religious and cultural significance of eagle feathers, the law makes an exception that allows members of federally recognized tribes to own eagle feathers. Eligible Native Americans must first get a permit to own and receive eagle feathers. The law allows Native Americans to wear, use, inherit, or even give feathers to other Native Americans. So, if you ever see a bird feather, especially an eagle feather, leave it alone, unless you're a Native American.
Well, that's very interesting. I think a lot of people don't know that. I know there's a eagle nest that we visited before, and the person that lives in that area, he knows that, and he unfortunately runs over him with the lawnmower because he knows if he's caught, because people know that there's a nest there, that there's an expensive fine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that gentleman does care for the eagles also. There was a raccoon, he was telling us, that was running up the tree and eating the eagle's eggs. And it really made him sad that one year that no baby eagles were being born there. So what he actually did was he wrapped the tree with like aluminum so that the yep. raccoon would only be able to go up halfway and not be able to reach the eagle's nest.
Yeah,
and then they were able to take care, and the eagles were able to have babies that year, so that made him really happy.
He had like 3 feet of ten.
Tizunk gets a federal fence to handle eagle feathers.
Yeah.
And, where do you get your eagle feathers? I was going to ask you, Choco.
Well, we have a thing out there, the Eagle Repository in Colorado. And you have to get signed off by the nation that you are representing. And if you get it okayed, then you can handle it. And everyone that gets an eagle feather, you know, in naming or any kind of ceremonies, it's okay to do that. And we'll go back to each person that gave that feather to them.
I think that's really important that you brought that up, Wendy, because I think a lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too, because you could just be walking around and seeing a feather. So just be mindful of looking at the feather, and if you think it's an eagle feather, just let it be.
You know, I really appreciate you and your segment each week. It's something for me and hopefully the people out there that it's really informative. And Peeny Gigi, a beautiful wife.
Thank you, beautiful husband.
Oh. Thank you, beautiful wife and husband.
Thank you, Choka. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exciting. exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And today we're going to be talking with Nina and Nolan Berglund, along with Rose Whipple. Thanks for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
There you go. Thank you. So I want you all to introduce yourselves one at a time here. And I want you to introduce yourself and tell me how old you are and where you go to high school. And who's your favorite teacher?
Hamadakiapi, Washichuya, Nolan Berglund, Amachiapi, Nala Kota, Yahiani, Wichachvi, Machiapi. Hello, my relatives. My American name is Nolan Berglund, and my Lakota name is Morningstar. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Harding High School. And my favorite teacher is Robert Pilot. Me and my sister are enrolled members of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe, and we are also Oglala Lakota from Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
My name is Rose Whipple. I'm 15, and I'm a student at Harding High School. And my favorite teacher is actually Barry Frandom. Sorry.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Hamadakiapi ampetukile mi chante washe nape chuzapi. Lakota ya wanaki tawachipu imachiapi na washitu ya Nina Berglund imachiapi.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nina Berglund. I'm, like my brother said, we're both enrolled members of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and we're also Oglala Lakota from Pine Ridge. I'm 17 years old, and I currently attend Gordon Parks High School. So,
Who's your favorite teacher?
I don't really have a favorite teacher. Wow. I miss my teachers back at Harding High School.
So we won't be giving you any parting gifts. All right. So, hey, let's talk about your activism. Let's get serious for a minute here because I'm a little goofy. Let's talk about your activism. Who wants to start?
I can talk a little bit about how we first got into activism, and it really started with the Redskins protest against the name and how it's just racist towards all Native American people, no matter what tribe you're from. And
that was like the first one that was at the Metrodome. How long ago that was.
I think that was in 2013, I believe.
Great. And so what can you tell me the process? You heard about it and you're going, we're going to go there with a group of people. Were there a lot of people there?
I'd say the first Redskin protest didn't get as much publicity as the second one that they held in 2014. So we kind of just heard about it, and I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to go there. Like, I got my siblings and my mom. We were like, yeah, we're going to go do this. And we had a couple of our friends come, too. There was around 50 people, I'd say.
Oh, that's awesome. And I was at the second one in 2014, and that was 2,000 to 3,000 people. That was one of my big first protests. And one of the things that I can remember is how Minnesota fans treated us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I experienced with my cousin, we had one of the Vikings fans, it wasn't a Redskins fan. He poured his cup of beer on my cousin as we were kind of walking along and told us to go home.
Right. And I think that's the ignorance that really hurts. Mm-hmm. And I think that that you guys have been living through all your life. And I mm-hmm. think that's part of our trauma and part of our story. And you guys coming out of that and becoming great leaders, it makes my heart sing. What you've done and what you're doing. So that's fast forward to when did you hear about, and I know you guys, how many times have you been to Standing Rock?
We've been to Standing Rock 4 times ever since we first heard about it. And
you told me about it. I didn't even know about what was going on at Standing Rock.
Yeah, we first heard about Standing Rock on Facebook, and we kind of just told our mom about it and that we wanted to go out there.
We kind of went out there with absolutely no money. We had enough for gas money and to buy us some food. So we kind of went off like a whim and kind of followed our hearts out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and our mentor, Mitch Walking Elk, had once told my mom that sometimes you just need to drop everything that's happening in your life and you need to do what's right for your people. So my mom tried to use that with what we did with Standing Rock. And she kind of just like, okay, we're going to go. We're going to get the money together to go out there.
because I knew it's kind of hard for her to just drop it because of all the stuff that she does, but she knew that this was right for us to experience as being as young as we are.
That's amazing. So how many people do you think were at the camp then? And roughly when was it? August?
I think it was around August 13th, around that kind of vicinity.
And that was before Archibald made the plea?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was when it was still Sacred Stone Camp, and the Ocheti Shakoi Camp wasn't even built yet.
Wow.
And there wasn't much people at the Sacred Stone Camp, and we kind of just went out there and just stayed for the night, and we found out that our uncle Barry Frandom was coming, so we met up with him, and he stayed with us at the camp. And the next morning we woke up early, around what, 6 o'clock, right when the sun was coming up and the sky was really red, and my uncle Barry had told me that with the red sky that means that there's going to be bloodshed. And
wow.
There was people yelling around the camp to wake up for your people, you have to do this, and just getting people to wake up to go out to the protest.
When we woke up early that morning, we went out to where they brought in the bulldozers and stuff, and we kind of occupied that space up on the hill. We seen a large group of police come down in their cars, and they confronted us.
And when they confronted us, we formed a circle of men, and all the women and children went into the middle, kind of like the men are guarding all the women and children. And the police have told us that we have 5 minutes to move down 100 feet or else they would start arresting.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of our first realization of how real this is. And just being youth, we were like, oh my gosh, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and so you guys were talking about going into fences and things like that, and
So once the police had us move down, they put in big barricades so people could not get to the entrance, and so we kind of were all just standing there singing songs, praying, and some women started to cut the fence, and people were jumping the fence, jumping into the construction site.
Yeah, the Cherry Creek riders came on horses and counted coup on the police that were standing there, and us women and children went into the construction site.
So,
go ahead.
When the horses came in, it kind of was like a distraction to the police, so people could get in without the police trying to mess with them, you know? So everybody went into the construction site, and that's when we were confronted by John.
And the whole deal about going into the construction site is that you guys wanted to pray and be prayful and thoughtful.
Yeah, we eventually went down to the water, to the Cannonball River, and we did a prayer ceremony there, the throwing of the ball. And we prayed, and we kind of, us youth that were there took an oath saying that we were going to dedicate our lives to protecting the water in this land that we were standing on.
Oh. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about more of your activism, and this makes my heart sing again, that was months before I think I went at the end of September to Standing Rock just to see what's going on. And so you guys are true leaders, and I'm excited to hear the rest of your story. You know, so let's really take a deep break here. And, you know, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll return after a short break and continue to talk to our amazing Native youth.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of 3 American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And today we're going to be talking with Nina and Nolan Berglund, along with Rose Whipple. Thanks for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
There you go. Thank you. So I want you all to introduce yourselves one at a time here. And I want you to introduce yourself and tell me how old you are and where you go to high school. And who's your favorite teacher?
Hamadakiapi, Washichuya, Nolan Berglund, Amachiapi, Nala Kota, Yahioni, Wichachvi, Machiapi. Hello, my relatives. My American name is Nolan Berglund, and my Lakota name is Morningstar. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Harding High School. And my favorite teacher is Robert Pilot. Me and my sister are enrolled members of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe, and we are also Oglala Lakota from Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
My name is Rose Whipple. I'm 15, and I'm a student at Harding High School. And my favorite teacher is actually Barry Frandom. Sorry.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Hamadaki api ampe tukile mi chante washte nape chius api lakota ya wanaki tawa chipu imaji api na washi chuya Nina Berglund imaji api. Hello, everyone. My name is Nina Berglund. I'm, like my brother said, we're both enrolled members of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and we're also Oglala Lakota from Pine Ridge. I'm 17 years old, and I currently attend Gordon Parks High School. So,
Who's your favorite teacher?
I don't really have a favorite teacher. Wow. I miss my teachers back at Harding High School.
So we won't be giving you any parting gifts. All right. So, hey, let's talk about your activism. Let's get serious for a minute here because I'm a little goofy. Let's talk about your activism. Who wants to start?
I can talk a little bit about how we first got into activism, and it really started with the Redskins protest against the name and how it's just racist towards all Native American people, no matter what tribe you're from. And
that was like the first one that was at the Metrodome. How long ago that was.
I think that was in 2013, I believe.
Great. And so what can you tell me the process? You heard about it and you're going, we're going to go there with a group of people. Were there a lot of people there?
I'd say the first Redskin protest didn't get as much publicity as the second one that they held in 2014. So we kind of just heard about it, and I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to go there. Like, I got my siblings and my mom. We were like, yeah, we're going to go do this. And we had a couple of our friends come, too. There was around 50 people, I'd say.
Oh, that's awesome. And I was at the second one in 2014, and that was 2,000 to 3,000 people. That was like one of my big first protests. And one of the things that I can remember is how Minnesota fans treated us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I experienced with my cousin, we had one of the Vikings fans, it wasn't a Redskins fan. He poured his cup of beer on my cousin as we were kind of walking along and told us to go home.
Right. And I think that's the ignorance that really hurts. Mm-hmm. And I think that that you guys have been living through all your life. And I mm-hmm. think that's part of our trauma and part of our story. And you guys coming out of that and becoming great leaders, is it makes my heart sing. What you've done and what you're doing. So that's fast forward to, when did you hear about, and I know you guys, how many times have you been to Standing Rock?
We've been to Standing Rock 4 times ever since we first heard about it. And
you told me about it. I didn't even know about what was going on at Standing Rock.
Yeah, we first heard about Standing Rock on Facebook, and we kind of just told our mom about it and that we wanted to go out there.
We kind of went out there with absolutely no money. We had enough for gas money and to buy us some food. So we kind of went off like a whim and kind of followed our hearts out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and our mentor, Mitch Walking Elk, had once told my mom that sometimes you just need to drop everything that's happening in your life and you need to do what's right for your people. So my mom tried to use that with what we did with Standing Rock, and she kind of just like, okay, we're going to go. We're going to get the money together to go out there.
Because I knew it's kind of hard for her to just drop it because of all the stuff that she does, but she knew that this was right for us to experience as being as young as we are.
That's amazing. So how many people do you think were at the camp then? And roughly when was it? August?
I think it was around August 13th, around that kind of vicinity.
And that was before Archibald made the plea?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was when it was still Sacred Stone Camp, and the Ocheti Shakoi Camp wasn't even built yet.
Wow.
And there wasn't much people at the Sacred Stone Camp, and we kind of just went out there and just stayed for the night, and we found out that our uncle Barry Frandom was coming, so we met up with him, and he stayed with us at the camp. And the next morning we woke up early, around what, 6 o'clock, right when the sun was coming up and the sky was really red. And my uncle Barry had told me that with the red sky, that means that there's going to be bloodshed. And
wow.
There was people yelling around the camp, wake up for your people, you have to do this, and just getting people to wake up to go out to the protest.
When we woke up early that morning, we went out to where they brought in the bulldozers and stuff, and we kind of occupied that space up on the hill. We seen a large group of police come down in their cars, and they confronted us.
And when they confronted us, we formed a circle of men, and all the women and children went into the middle, kind of like the men are guarding all the women and children. And the police have told us that we have 5 minutes to move down 100 feet or else they would start arresting.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of our first realization of how real this is. And just being youth, we were like, oh my gosh, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and so you guys were talking about going into fences and things like that, and
So once the police had us move down, they put in big barricades so people could not get to the entrance, and so we kind of were all just standing there singing songs, praying, and some women started to cut the fence, and people were jumping the fence, jumping into the construction site.
Yeah, the Cherry Creek riders came on horses and counted coup on the police that were standing there, and us women and children went into the construction site.
So,
go ahead.
When the horses came in, it kind of was like a distraction to the police, so people could get in without the police trying to mess with them, you know? So everybody went into the construction site, and that's when we were confronted by John.
And the whole deal about going into the construction site is that you guys wanted to pray and be prayful and thoughtful.
Yeah. Yeah, we eventually went down into, we went down to the water, to the Cannonball River, and we did a prayer ceremony there, the throwing of the ball. And we prayed, and we kind of, us youth that were there took an oath saying that we were going to dedicate our lives to protecting the water in this land that we were standing on.
Oh, so, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about more of your activism, and this makes my heart sing again with... you know, that was months before I think I went at the end of September to Standing Rock just to see what's going on. And so you guys are true leaders, and I'm excited to hear the rest of your story. Let's continue on this, Nina.
Okay, well, we're kind of reflecting back to that first day that we were there at the camp. And it was during that day that the Cheyenne River people came with busloads and busloads of people, and that's really when it started to expand.
And just to finish up about it, the first time we were there is when we were leaving, we seen a little camp starting to rise up, and it was actually the overflow camp that would soon be Ocheti Shakoni.
The big camp.
Yeah, the main camp now.
Yeah, and that's where I was most of the time.
Yeah.
And at the time, there were only about two teepees and a few tents out there.
So talk about the other three times that you were there.
Well, the time after that, we stopped in for a short amount of time because we were actually going to Montana. But that was when Ocheti Shakoni was just established. And we got to see the flags and we got to see the amount of people that kind of came from when the first time to now this next time. We were like, it was kind of overwhelming.
So, Rose, why don't you talk about your time out there?
Well, I had been hearing about Standing Rock for a few months now, but I never had a platform or people that could bring me there, and I never had people to support me in that. But as I was at school, we have a Native advisory just for Native students, and I heard a few people talking about it, a little caravan to Standing Rock. So I asked my teacher, Pilot, which is the host here, and I think he gave me the number, and I contacted the number, and it was Marianne. And so I was just like, hey, I want to go. And I had to write a little interview thing,
a little paragraph on why you wanted to go.
And she was like, yeah, let's go. And so I went, and I didn't know anybody on that whole trip because I was new to the school. Mm. And I didn't know anybody. I just wanted to go just because I was there for the cause. And I wanted to be there for my people. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I was there. And there was two times that was amazing for me personally. And one was the time when the student-led marched into the camp.
Oh, yeah.
And while we were on our way with that caravan trip, right before we got to where the camp was, there was an eagle that flew right beside the two buses.
Yeah, and flew right up in the sky. And I know my Choka was there, and that was my first experience. And I know the second big thing for me was when the youth came in running in from Pine Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
That gave me chills. I put up a 10-second video of that, and I had over 30,000 people look at that.
Dang.
So when Wendy and I were there last, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I think there was over 20,000 people there, and that was the week before the former military people were there. So what I'm excited about too to talk about is how the fruition of what happened on Selby or the Marshall Street or Selby Lake Bridge Street or Marshall Lake Street Bridge. Can somebody tell me what happened?
Me, Rose, and Crystal Norcross came together, and Nolan, we were talking about how we had to do something.
I just kind of messaged Nina and was like, hey, we have to do something. It was the day that Trump made that executive order, and me and Nina just knew we had to do something, so we wanted to do a protest, a really big protest, to get people's attention.
We needed immediate action now.
Right, and I think I saw that come up on Water Warriors, and you know, I was pretty clueless, but I wanted to be there and support you, mm-hmm. you youth and everybody that was doing that, and I was pretty amazed by it. So go ahead, finish the story and how this transpired.
All of our thoughts kind of came together as a community, and we did it like just suddenly, and everything kind of flowed together with the help of MN350, with the help of the Women's March on Washington. They were really, really big help to what we were trying to do.
So they helped organize it. So they were the people with the orange vests that helped people.
Yes, that was MN350.
They sponsor the show, and that's I can't thank them enough for that. But they do so much for the community and all the many protests I've been at, and amazing protests, including yours. MN350 really.
Yeah, they were a really big contribution to our help.
Right. So then you put it out there, and then people started. Did you start a group or?
Yeah, we got over 1.5, I think, 1,000 people who were interested, but I think around 200 people were the ones who actually came.
Yeah, we just started an event on Facebook, and a lot of people just found out about it somehow. We just started sharing it everywhere, and a lot of people just they came. Around 400 people were probably there.
I think there was close to 1,000 when you put both the sides together.
Yeah,
You must have been looking at WCCO's picture when they only shot half the people and showed that.
So the way that we were going to organize the march is that there was going to be the Minneapolis side and the St. Paul side, and how that they were going to march together onto that bridge and meet up in the middle to create one huge protest.
In the middle of the Mississippi River.
Yes.
Another thing that we should add is that we did partner with the St. Paul Police Department to make sure that everything was going to go okay and that they knew about it.
That's awesome, because they were super, at least St. Paul, because that's the side I was on.
Yeah, we were kind of unsure about it in the beginning, just to how it would unfold with the police and to make sure that it stayed as safe as possible.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost allotments, customs, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. You know, we've been listening to our strong community youth leaders, Nina, Nola, and Rose,
let's continue on this.
So all the youth know, if there are any youth listening out there, that you need to stand up. And that's why I think it's powerful that us as youth show ourselves and we speak for ourselves, so the other youth around us can see what we should do and what they need to do in their part.
Yes, and when we do these types of things, we don't just think about ourselves. We think about the ones who will come after us, the next generation.
So powerful words. Rose, you got anything to say before we wrap this up? How about you, Nolan? Do you have anything? Any chants that we learned and any things that... Go ahead, Rose.
I think that this whole Dakota Access Pipeline thing that's happening has really created a movement for our people that's bigger than the American Indian movement. Mm-hmm. And I think that it has been bringing a lot of people together, not just Natives, but people of all races together to fight against the government and things that are wrong with our world right now.
That's right. Amen to that.
I'd just like to share a song that I learned out in Standing Rock, that one of that first time that we went there. Goes, Unchimaka yuoni hampo, mini wichoni wakayelo, diepieli la sichayelo, oyate ble tiapo. Thank you.
Very beautiful.
That was beautiful. You know, that's a great way to end the segment. I want to really thank you, young people, for being out here and taking your Saturday off to spend some time with our listening audience and us. It means a lot.
And thanks to you, Pilot, and Wendy, and all you guys for just inviting us out here to speak our words.
Yes, thank you. This meant a lot to come out and share our words. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Pini Gigi, we'll return after this short break. So, you know, our youth are still here kind of listening to us. maybe we can have them.
I think they're on Facebook, but they're listening.
Hey, you know what? Look over here.
They could multitask.
So what? How about if you guys sing? Could you sing that song? Yeah, we have time. We got 3 minutes, and if you guys could sing us that song, that would be totally awesome.
Yeah, of course you could.
Again, this is Nolan, Rose, and Nina. And and you guys want to introduce the song, and then we'll sit back and listen, and then we'll call it a show.
So the song that we'll be singing is a Lakota song called the Four Directions song.
We och piata kia hitu ayo ni tun kashela aitu ahe on kielo cheki ayo aitu ahe on kielo Wazia ta kia hitu ayo ni tu kashela aitu ahe on kielo cheki ayo aitu ahe on kielo We on hia pata kia hitu ayo Ni tun kashela A hitu a he on kelo Cheki ayo Cheki ayo A hitu a he on kelo Itoka hata kia hitu ayo Ni tun kashela A hitu a he onkelo Cheki ayo Cheki ayo A hitu a he onkelo Mahpia ta kia hitu ayo Wakatanka a hitu a he on kielo Cheki ayo Cheki ayo A hitu a he on kielo Makataka kia hitu ayo Unchi maka
You've been listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I'm Awake. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank our guests, Nina, Nolan, Rose, and my Hinu. We're still here, Pini Gigi, to our ancestors and our creators. We are the seventh generation.